You're live, Pastor Sandy.
Hey, Irene.
Amen. You're live.
Good to see you. Thank you. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
Hallelujah. You haven't learned that yet, Irene? I didn't see you say it. All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Welcome, everybody, to Soldiers for Christ Community Church. Where Hebrew is important.
Yes.
Somebody told me and tried to make me feel bad about learning, about teaching Hebrew. I was like, oh my goodness, they're trying to hit below the belt. Wow. Like you. Okay. So, first of all, I want to say this. Did you guys see the numbers on it, that little 10-minute thing I did before your wonderful message?
Over 500,000 so far.
No, it's way more. It's like almost 900,000.
912,000.
912,000 views. Okay. I have people calling me from everywhere.
Adrian said 920,000.
920,000.
Wow.
Okay. Now, everybody's listening, right? And I'm seeing people posting it on Instagram and all this. And I go on Instagram and some guy posted me, I forget his name, Nino Brown. Posted me on his thing on, and I mean, I'm going on this stuff, and I'm like, some of these people ain't Christians. They got all kind of crazy stuff on there. I'm like, this is not my message.
Right.
My message is not the coronavirus.
Right.
Or government scams. That is not my message. My message is something bigger than the coronavirus.
Yeah.
My message is get ready, because something right after the coronavirus eases down and dies out, then you're in trouble, okay? Because March 26th starts the 120th year, which is the year of Noah, which is the time of we're looking in the sky for rain.
Yep.
Because this boat's about to go up.
Yep.
We're not, our fear is not the coronavirus, and my importance as a pastor is not the coronavirus.
Amen.
Do I know a lot? Yes, because and it's not me. The Lord has guided me to meet certain people and talk to certain people that that know what's going on, right? And when they talk to me, they don't talk to me about surface stuff. They tell me what's going on underneath it.
Yes.
Like I'm talking and I'm like, hey, so what about the virus and what about this? And he doesn't say, oh, well, you know, it's an infectious disease, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't even go into the 5G or nothing. He says, so the first thing he says, well, there's been quite a few arrests made.
Hmm.
And now they've escalated it, so they're going to shut everything down on us. And I'm like, that's not what I asked you about the coronavirus. What's up about people getting arrested and stuff? But then Oprah came out and said, I just want you to know I didn't get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nobody asked you if you got arrested, right?
Right.
But why is she putting that? Because people were starting to say she was one of the people that got arrested, right?
Mm.
But she's like, I didn't get arrested. If you look it up on the internet, Oprah confirmed she didn't get arrested.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, that's real good. But nobody asked you, right?
Right.
But that's what, you know, my source told me, like, okay, there's these arrests going on. And to stop the arrests, they're going to implement this more, and they're going to stop. They're going to shut down everything. They're going to shut down, and they're going to try to drive up the numbers and get more panic going and everything like that. So, and then someone said to me, hey, if the coronavirus is fake, and I'm not saying the coronavirus is fake, I'm saying the vaccine is fake. That is not to cure you, okay? The vaccine is fake, okay? But I'm not saying it's fake. But what I am saying is that the using the media to drive it is what's got everybody buying up everything, right? It's like, can't get no rice, can't get no beans, can't get no noodles. It's crazy, right? Now, the place where there's been the most deaths for the coronavirus has been Wuhan, China, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like 4,000 something before they start seeing it's dwindling down, it's dying out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, that's okay, I need background music because this is good. next, The second highest place for deaths has been Italy.
Yeah.
All you got to do is look it up and say, where else has the 5G been released in this highest form? And it'll go Wuhan, China, and Italy, okay? So the two places, the common denominator, or whatever that word is, denominator between those two places is they both release 5G on high levels.
Yeah.
And they both had high levels of death, okay? And I want to clear some things up. And so your president, Donald Trump, the guy with the really good hair, said, we are not going to have vaccines and we're not going to have over-testing of people so you can drive up the numbers and scare people more, right? Because he knew what they were doing.
Right.
But this is what they found this cure, dioxide or something, and this doctor said it cures COVID-19 100% on Fox News, right? And he says, we don't need a vaccine. And that's what Donald Trump wanted to hear because they keep trying to push that vaccine.
Wow.
Like, so what he's doing is saying, we're not falling for your trick.
Uh-huh.
We know what you're trying to do. I know you want to shut down the economy, but go ahead and shut it down. But we're going to put a stimulus package. We've got $300 billion. We're going to start sending people checks so we can keep our economy going. Because the underlying stuff that's going on, he's saying, we ain't done with you.
Mm.
He's telling the deep state, we're not done with you, okay?
Wow.
And we'll talk about this for a little bit today because it's things that you must know to know that you serve a real God. You understand?
Yeah.
You have to know that you have an enemy,
yeah,
or else you don't know a war is going on, all right?
Yeah.
So,
Shalom from Japan and the UK, and Spirit Wing said it's chloroquine.
Chloroquine? That's what the yeah.
What you're talking about.
Yeah. Isn't that something? And they all on Fox News going, Donald Trump told him, find something else because we're not using no vaccines.
Yes.
We're not going to kill 700 people for you.
Wow.
Using your vaccine,
mm-hmm,
okay? So, Mr. Gates, keep your vaccine. We don't want it, right?
You take it, Gates.
So, yeah, why don't you take a shot? So, they found this and they announced it on Fox that it cures coronavirus 100%, okay?
Wow.
The people that got vaccines in Italy did not get vaccines, okay? They did not get vaccines to cure COVID-19. They got the vaccine. They got the vaccine. I don't even want to say the coronavirus. They got the vaccine. I should say just the poison,
yeah,
okay? Because this is what we're going to give you because you say you have this, right?
Right.
You guys, please just try to understand what's going on. Like, if somebody tells you the truth, okay, don't automatically say, that's not what CNN says. Don't do that. Because what CNN says is 99% most of the time a lie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So please, now, okay. This is what we need to talk about. We need to talk about the fact that you have an enemy. The Lord wanted me to show this to you guys today, okay? Because I love you, and I want you to know where you live. Do you have an enemy, okay? Is your enemy real? If he is real, does he manifest himself sometimes and puts it out there for you to see it? And if you're smart enough, you can see it, okay? So, this is what the Lord had me studying. A guy named Aleister Crowley. You guys know who that is?
Oh my goodness, do we know.
He was the head of the satanic, the church and the Vril movement and all of this satanic stuff that was going on. He wrote many books. I'm going to read to you. It says about the author Aleister Crowley. He lived from 1875 to 1947, who claimed to be the reincarnation of Dr. John Dee, among others. He lived in England from 1875 to 1947. He is the author of several books, including a book of Thoth, Diary of a Drug Fiend, Magic, Book of Lies and the Book of the Law, right? Now, in all of his writings, he's always using Kabbalah magic, because Kabbalah is not Jewish, okay? Kabbalah is not for Jews. Mm-hmm. For all the Jews that are into Kabbalah, Kabbalah is witchcraft, okay? Yeah. It's satanic. But he uses this Kabbalah magic in all of his books, all of the books that he wrote. Now, he's very famous, and he's famous for doing a lot of things. Like, even the Beatles had a picture of him on their album, like Sgt. Pepper Lonely Heart Club Band, the 25 people we most admire, and they have Aleister Crowley in the corner, right? So he's the one that brought out all this music. Very wealthy, right? Because that's what they'll do, they'll make you wealthy. Anyway, he wrote all these books, and then, this book, the first copy of it, they said was actually seen in 1907. Then they said there was a revision of it in 1955, and then but in 1973, someone released a full document of the writings of Aleister Crowley, right? In 1973, okay? Remember that when I tell you. So in 1973, they release his right. Now, I'm reading through the stuff yesterday, and I'm telling you, I don't even feel comfortable reading. I wasn't reading a book. I was just reading the history of him, right? Mm-hmm. In all of the books, all of his magic numbers are this: 175, 77, 11, and 93. I'll read to you why he believes them. 75, he said, he wrote. Now, we're talking about he wrote this, all this stuff, before he died in 1947. It was just revised in 1973, okay? 175, he wrote, is the number used to invoke deities through magic rituals, okay? Number 11 symbolizes destruction, violence, defeat, and death. 11, he writes, is the number of magic itself. 77, he says, is the other important number. He says, Crowley wrote in his book, Liber 77, this is claimed that 77 is Septuagint, which is division of seven. It is simply 11 times seven, and it says was a magical number, and it's also a symbol of Capricorn and the devil in the tarot cards. Even Anton LaVey of the Satanic Church wrote that Satan has 77 names, okay? So 77 was the other number. Then he said, but his most important for himself was the number 93. Why 93? It says, was his favorite number of being that it was the number of the Greek word thelema. What does thelema mean, you guys? Will. Remember, this is it's your free will. Your will be done. What did Jay-Z have on his shirt? Huh? He had Aleister Crowley saying, do as thy will. Because the satanic churches don't do what God tells you to do. Do as you will, right? So if you want to do it. And then when you act in that way, you're acting in the way of Satan. You're saying, not your will, God, my will, right? So the whole law, it says the whole law of Aleister Crowley's book was thelema, which is the 93, which is the word will, and the word love in Greek. Which was the motto, do as thy will. That was his creed, okay? Now, here, let's stay over here for a minute. Watch this. Okay. 777 and other Kabbalic writings of Aleister Crowley was republished in 1973, given these same numbers that if you want to contact demons and Satan, these are the numbers you need to use. In all of his writings, we're talking about from 1909, 1947, then revised in 1973, okay? So they released it in 1973. Guess what else happened in 1973? They opened the Twin Towers.
Really?
In 1973. Then they flew planes into the Twin Towers. Number 11 hit first. U.S. Air Flight number 11 hit first. Okay, hit the towers, and then flight 175 hit the other tower, okay? Then 77 hit the Pentagon, and then 93 fell into the field. So they took a book about Satan and made sure every plane had that number before they flew it into the towers.
My goodness.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. That means whoever was involved in doing this was on a high level satanic, was on a high level satanic knowledge and had the money to say, these are the flights that are going to be used. This is the number you're going to name the flights. And we're going to crash the building into a building that looks like the
11.
Okay. And that's what we're going to do. Okay. And so now, if you understand Crawley's book and his four numbers of conjuring up Satan, you realize he used the same numbers to crash into the building. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
God wanted me to show you that. Okay. Because sometimes you don't think you have an enemy. That means the last flight, number 93, was supposed to hit the White House.
Right.
Which, where was George Bush on that day? He's at a school.
Ooh.
He's at a school, and he's talking to the kids, and all of the kids are saying, okay, read these words.
Plane
must hit steel. Look it up.
I looked it up. That's,
and then the guy comes over and whispers into his ear and lets him know that the plane's already hit. And he sits there like as if nothing ever happened. And I'm like, they planned this whole thing. Not only did they plan it, they kept it in accordance with satanic beliefs.
Wow.
You understand?
That's deep.
You have an enemy. And I want you to know this nation was not really, was it? This nation, I'm talking about Washington, D.C., the whole diameter, the whole way that it was built is for a resurrection of Osiris with the obelisk and everything. It's all like they're trying to bring back this satanic ruler to rule over the world. So they believe in a one world government. Mm. You guys have to understand that. Okay, now, I'm getting away from that because that's not my calling either. My calling is get you ready to get out of here.
Yes, sir.
So that you're living for Christ, okay?
Yes.
Because some people don't get it that you're in a spiritual war.
Right.
Let me tell you something. This is just straight the way I was reading yesterday. And I was reading Esdras. But in Esdras, it's very interesting. The book of Esdras says there's no such thing as unbelief in the internal realm. So once you leave this body and you go into the next realm, it says there's no such thing. The word don't exist, right? There's no such thing as unbelief. Once you leave, everybody who didn't believe go, this is reality.
Yep.
Okay? So understand this. And then God says, to the prophet Ezra, he says, but I want you to know I created two places, not just one. Okay? I created a place for the righteous to go, and I created a place for people who don't want me to go. I want you to know this, okay? Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, that's okay, because on earth, the word belief and unbelief exists. But once you die, I want you to know there's nobody here that's an atheist. There is nobody here that doesn't believe in Jesus, okay? So understand that. You can do whatever you want here, but I'm telling you right now, you're going to face reality because as I checked, there's nobody has left this body alive, right? Unless you're talking about Jesus Christ. But even Jesus says, I got to die so I can go back and collect the keys back so that I can give eternal life, right? So understand, in your mortal body is going to die and then you're going to discover that there's no unbelief in eternity, all right? Now, question the Lord wanted me to give you. And this is it. It says, say for example, the day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, okay? They brought you in to a room And you said, and they said, we want to thank you for standing up and raising your hand and giving your life to Jesus. And they take you in a room and they give you a helmet. And they said, now these are for bullets, you know what I mean? Just in case, you know, you get hit in the head, that you don't get hit, okay? And then this is a breastplate. Put this chest protector on, because if bullets hit you, you know, in the body, you won't die, okay? And they give you one, they put that on you, right? And then you say, okay, can I go now? They say, no. You believe in Jesus, right? They go, yeah, okay. Here's some boots. These are marching boots, okay? These are steel-toe marching boots, okay? So keep these on your feet. And here you're gonna need this. And they hand you a big sword. And they said, after you leave here, you go directly to training, because they're gonna teach you how to use the sword, okay? And then I've almost forgot, here's your shield, because you're gonna need something to, when they're shooting at you, to divert, you know, like Wonder Woman. You're gonna be like Wonder Woman. Yeah. You're gonna be knocking them off, right? Here's all of your things. Thank you for coming to First Baptist Apostolic Church of the AME of Christ. And then you leave like with all this gear on, and you could barely walk to your car. You might be confused about something, but one thing you would not be confused about: you going to war.
Going to war.
Okay? Yes. And that's been a big problem in Christianity.
Yes.
People don't want to go to war. Somebody said, I accepted Jesus because my friend accepted Christ and she got a new job. That's not why you joined the army.
Okay.
That is not the reason. It's cute, but it's not the reason you join the army.
Amen.
You don't join. I don't care. I don't like none of their commercials when they be like, join the army and get college for free. I'm like, there's some people with one leg will tell you, go, that commercial is a lie.
Keep your leg. Amen.
Yeah, that is not why you're going to college, to get free money for school.
Amen.
You go to the army because you're going to end up in a war. Yep. And experienced officers need to tell people.
Amen.
So to all the new people who just accepted Jesus, welcome to the war.
Yes.
Okay? This is a war. Let's go to Acts chapter 2.
Pastor Stanley, shalom from Greece and Finland.
Shalom, Greece and Finland. What's their last name? Are they Matanakis? That's my Greek friend, George Matanakis.
These are from Greece, and then the others are from Finland and all around the United States. Ohio said they're big.
Hey.
Ohio said they listen. They are
praise God. Love Ohio. Hey, listen, you guys, and everybody around the world, coronavirus, what you're experiencing now is nothing.
Hmm.
I want you to know that. It may be a little panic and things shut down and things look weird, but like I said last week, this is just a cloud to show you what's coming, okay?
Yes, sir.
And you need to know that when it comes, okay, it's gonna be too late. Because what you're experiencing now and what you're going to experience once God takes his children out of the world is going to be completely different.
Yes.
It's going to be way more violent. It's going to be less caring of your feelings.
Yes.
All of these things. These people right now, they're not locking you up. There's nobody being beheaded. There's nobody being forced to take chips.
Amen.
All of this stuff is not going on. A matter of fact, Malachi, Micah 7 says, be careful in those days of who you associate with, because they might turn you in and get you killed.
Yeah.
So it's going to be way worse.
Yes.
Okay. It'll be bigger problems than that. They bought all the toilet paper.
Right.
There'll be bigger problems, right?
Yeah.
This is our complaint now, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about a bigger thing that's coming to the earth that Jesus said, what? He says, two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. One will be perilambano and the other one will be divorced. Okay?
Amen.
So understand that Christ is coming for his church.
Amen.
And you begin the flood year, March 26th.
Yeah.
So,
shalom from Germany.
Shalom, Germany. Now, you in Acts chapter 2? Okay. You're not in Acts chapter 2?
No.
Let's get there then. I'm sorry, I distracted you because I started talking.
Amen.
Okay. I can confess when I'm wrong. Okay?
Amen.
I wasn't right. I should have went and read the scripture first.
All right, Pastor.
It says here, I'm reading, I'm starting at verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both God and Messiah.
Yes.
Okay? He's both Lord over everything, and he's the Messiah. And he says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What's the first instruction?
Repent.
Repent. Let me get my towel. Where's my towel, Pastor Man?
Your towel. Towel.
Okay.
Well, Sharon's not here. We're going to get you.
Ooh. Okay. So, yeah, because I'm sweating. So now, the first word that the apostle gives them is repent. What does repent mean?
Turn
from your sins, okay? Turn around, go the other way. The word is hakshuv or shuv. Turn around, go the other way. Thank you very much. Turn around, go the other way. Now, I'm saying this because someone posted a thing that said this. Okay, this guy standing in front of, and it says, repent and turn from your sins and accept Jesus Christ. Time is short, right? And someone said, this whole thing that this guy has is not the gospel. This is not even, you don't have to repent to accept Jesus, and you can't stop sinning, so why would he say turn from your sins?
Ooh.
He says, so he's jumped onto this, just believe in Jesus and you're okay, okay? And so I hit him up like, hey man, you know, they got like little gospel rap, me and my kids are listening to music, I like the guy, and I'm like, I'm trying to tell him, this is a stumbling block to people because you're trying to tell them that it's impossible to stop sinning, so this guy preaching out there to stop sinning or turn from your sins and accept Christ is wrong. All he can do is just believe in his name and then he'll be saved. And I'm like, this is a big lie. But see, I keep saying this because I keep trying to come back to the same thing. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in a war.
Yes.
Okay? And what's the war against? Sin. I guarantee you, this war is against sin.
Amen.
Because sin is what causes all the problems in life.
Yes.
And Job chapter 1 says that even Satan says, I can't do anything to Job because you've set a hedge around him. But why did God set a hedge around him? Because of Job's righteous lifestyle. Job caused himself to be obedient to God. Job said, you know what? I'm going to live a righteous life. As for me and my household, we're going to live for God. And because of that, God put a hedge around his and said, you can destroy, touch anybody else, but you will not touch this man, right? And that's what I keep trying to tell people who believe in Jesus Christ. Relax, calm down. This thing's going to disappear as fast as it came. And you're protected by Jesus, okay?
Amen.
So, trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Do not trust in what the media is trying to get you, because once they build this fear up in you, then now all your hope in Jesus is gone, and all your thing is on the fear of, am I going to survive for tomorrow? Pastor Ben said it today, the prayer, Abanu Shabbat Shabbaim. Give us today our daily bread, okay? God only said one day. When you pray, ask for one day, all right? If you charge it and give me all this month my daily bread, I never said that. You thank me for today,
right?
Because tomorrow's got enough problems for it, and we'll pick up tomorrow, all right? But if you got it today, what should be on your lip? Thanks
thank
and
you.
Praises.
Tomorrow's not
okay? I want to thank you for the toilet paper I got here and the 22 boxes I got in my closet. What are you doing? You know what I mean? Okay. And I'm not saying it's not wise to have a few free extra things because the world's crazy.
Yeah.
But you don't sit in a supermarket fighting with two ladies fighting fighting over a six pack. And I'm not talking about beer. Right. I'm talking about toilet paper.
Shalom from Uganda.
Shalom, Uganda. Oh, I love Africa has been really, yes. Okay, now listen to me. The first thing is repent. You must repent, okay? And now once you repent and you accept Christ, because of what I read to you about the armor that God tells us to put on every day, do you see why what God is doing? Because if I gave you this stuff at church, you wouldn't know you're in a war, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we have a problem when it comes to war. We're all soldiers, and we're all Christians, and we're all here for this battle. Now, this is a problem. We have a problem. And I love Greg, because Greg is the ultimate warrior, but he's my type of warrior. Because you know why? Greg will let you know if he needs help. Mm-hmm. You don't have to ask Greg. Because, see, we do Christianese. Greg don't even do Christianese. You ask Greg how you doing, Greg's like, well, let me tell you. You better have some time, right? He don't go, blessed in the Lord and highly favored.
Yeah.
Because see, if you say that, it's like, oh, that's Christianese. Oh, thank you. God bless you too, you know? And then they just move on. But sometimes you're not feeling like that, right?
Right.
But we say it because it's the Christian thing to do, okay? But it's not smart. Because the scripture says, confess your sins one to another, right? And he says, when two come together and pray, there's more power, right? So if we're like all pretending like we're winning, and if you're not winning, then you don't get any help, right?
Uh-huh. Amen.
When I was at the Raiders, I met Lyle Alzado, right? And I had read his book. Listen to this. I had read his book. And he's a big guy, you know, but he wrote in his book that when he was a rookie, there was a big guy that was blocking him, and he was cheap-shotting him and doing all these things to him. But there was another guy on the other side that was on his team. His name was Tombstone. I think that was his nickname. He was a big guy, right? He was a veteran. And he said, how you doing over there, Rook? And he said, I'm having problems. This guy's cheap-shotting me, and he keeps holding me, and the refs won't do anything about it. And he says, I'm having problems over here. He said, let's switch sides for a second. Ooh. So he switched sides, and the next play, they threw a short pass, but the guy that had been cheap shotting him was laying on the ground, curled up like a baby. So Lazaro said, I asked him, what'd you do to him? Because the guy's like on the ground, hurt. And he says, I punched him in his jaw.
Ooh.
And I was like, wow. And he said, thanks for letting me know about him. Now, what did I learn from that? Because football teaches me life. If I have a problem, I gotta speak up.
That's right.
I'm not going. I'm okay. I'm a big, strong guy too. I'm an NFL player too. I'm okay. And get beat up for the whole game?
Right.
No, he went to his friend, and his friend said, "Let me take care of that for you."
Right. I got you.
Understand what I'm trying to tell you. If you try to fight Christianity by yourself, you will lose.
Right.
We were meant to be an army in a war together, okay? Yeah. Helping each other, being with each other, praying for each other. With this, the Hebrew said, God is well pleased.
Amen.
Okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 8.
Man, Pastor Sandy.
Acts chapter 8. Listen, if you have some sin in your life, you can confess that sin and be cleansed of that sin. You understand?
Yeah.
If you have some things you're struggling with, come in here and Pastor Ben and say, hey, Pastor Ben, I'm struggling with this. Let's put this on the altar. Let's pray for it. You know what they did in the Old Testament? They took things to the altar so that the altar could burn up that offering and consume it. And God wants us to bring things that we're struggling with to prayer so that he can consume it, burn it up, and get it out of your life. Yeah. Why? Because sin will kill you. Yeah. It will literally destroy your whole life. Your fight is against sin.
Yes.
Okay?
Shalom from the West Indies.
Shalom, West Indies. Now, it says here, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. If your scripture stopped at, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and it ends with a comma, that's not the end of that scripture.
Amen.
The people who wrote these NIVs and the people who wrote the scriptures after and took and said, oh, this shouldn't be here, and start taking scriptures out, they took out who walks after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Yep. So there's no condemnation in your life. There should be no condemnation in your life if you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But if you're walking after the flesh, the Holy Spirit is going to condemn you. You know why? Because sin will kill you.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is there to condemn you, to let you know this is not the way to go.
Amen.
Okay? And our job is to not quench the Holy Spirit, but to listen and to listen to the instructions.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
And make a godly decision.
Yes.
Okay?
Shalom from the Netherlands.
Shalom. Netherlands. Okay, here we go. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weak by the sinful nature, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Okay? So God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to provide another way of salvation, not other than the law. Because in the law, what did you have to do? You had not 10 commandments. You had 613 laws, rules, things you must do that the Jews must do to stay in line with Christ. It's quite a bit. And God didn't give them the law because he knew that that would make them perfect. He gave them the law so that they could understand what's sin and what's not.
Yeah.
Okay. But the law was not there to bring them into righteousness. God had another plan to bring them into complete righteousness. But for now, it became a schoolmaster for them, so that now they started keeping the law. And by keeping the law, that kept them righteous because they were doing what the Lord said to do, right?
Yes.
So Jesus comes and now he provides for us another way, okay?
Yeah. Uganda, Venezuela, and Michigan.
Wow. I just read verse 3 of Romans chapter 8.
Amen. Bristol, England.
Okay. For what the law was powerless to do, it was weakened by the sinful nature. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin. He condemned sin in sinful man in order that righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the what? Spirit.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, once you accept Christ, now you got to walk according to what? The Spirit. And not the flesh. So God is telling you, once you accept him, to change the way you think, change the way you do things. Now, is it going to be a battle?
Yes.
That's why I gave you the armor. That's why God gave you the armor, because it's going to be a battle, okay? Yes. You're not going to just wake up the next day and go, wow, I feel so holy and complete, and I don't feel like sinning anymore, and this is just awesome. I'm glad I gave my life to Christ. Your fight against sin is going to last you as long as you're on this battlefield.
That's right.
I'm doing my message the other day, and up pops on the left-hand side, women lingerie. click, don't see this anymore. All right, got rid of that. I'm studying again. Women with bikinis. I'm trying to study, and on my computer, these pop-ups keep coming.
Amen.
Now, I can go, let me look at this for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a nice color on her. Well, I wouldn't do that because I'd be dead. But listen, in a sinful situation, everybody has a choice.
Amen.
Okay? And remember, your battle is against sin because Satan is trying to get you to sin because you won't read Deuteronomy 28, which says if you live in obedience, he'll bless everything that you do. But if you live in disobedience, he'll curse everything that you do. Satan knows this. So your battle is Satan's trying to curse your life so you can't be a blessing to somebody else. So now I'm going to teach you how to sin so that I can curse everything that comes to you. Okay, remember, Satan couldn't take anything from Adam until after they sinned.
Right.
You understand?
Right. Amen. Shalom from Uganda.
Hallelujah.
Greenland.
Hallelujah. Here we go. It says in verse 5, you there with me?
Yes.
It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the mind of the sinful man is death. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanatos. And I want you to look that up because it says not just your flesh dying, but an eternity in hell. So the mind of a sinful man is eternity in hell. But the mind that's controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful man is hostile to God, toward God.
Yes.
You hear that?
Yes.
It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Okay? So, you're in the battle to do what? Fight against sin. Okay? Yes. Don't be ashamed about fighting against sin. In every war, there's battles, okay? You win some battles, you lose some battles, okay? But you cannot leave the war because you're in it. You understand?
Right.
So if you're winning that battle, you're taking it to prayer, and you get victory over some things. Like I got victory over a lot of different things in my life, right? And as the victories come, I celebrate that that's not a problem to me anymore.
Right.
And I move on to another thing that I'm going to have a battle with. But my thing is, I have to realize at all times while I'm here, there's going to be battles, and I'm always going to have to fight some type of war. You understand?
10 minutes past.
And my job is to walk according to the Spirit so that I win the battle. What is walking toward in the Spirit? It's being obedient to the Spirit that lives in you, that you don't do the things that your flesh want to do.
Yes.
So therefore, I'm walking in the Spirit because I know the Word of God says not to do that. So I'm not going to do that. I'm walking in the Spirit. Okay. I'm letting the Holy Spirit govern my body. You understand? So as the Holy Spirit is governing me, I'm walking in the Spirit. Now, if you're having problems overcoming a sin, you don't say to yourself, well, Jesus just don't work. What? That don't make any sense. Jesus works. Well, it's obviously you can't stop sinning, so I might as well just give up. That's not how you win a battle, right? Look, if there, whatever it is, some of us may be still fighting against some things when you get raptured.
Yeah.
But one thing for sure, you better be fighting against it. If you started living in it and telling God, you just got to accept the way I am, then now you're not fighting anymore. And God says, I am not mocked. Because a sin offering is mandatory.
Yes.
This is from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Sin offerings are mandatory. If you sin, you got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to bring it before God. You've got to confess it so that that offering can be consumed. And God says, I place you right back in right standing. John chapter what? 1 John chapter 1 and 9, right?
Amen.
And God will, he will forgive you and place you back in right standing, okay?
Yes.
The Lord said to me this morning, people are ashamed that they're not perfect. That's why people try to look for another religion. Well, once I'm saved, I'm always saved, so I guess I just keep sinning. That's not fighting.
No.
You're looking for a way to remain in sin and not have to repent. God wants you to repent.
Yeah.
God wants you to repent. The Lord showed me this morning, repenting is like Satan shot these bullets at you. Bah, 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 and you got all these holes in you, okay? And it's like, man, this could kill me, right? And what's that thing, X-Men? The guy, his everything just heal up on his own,
oh, yeah.
Right? Once you ask for forgiveness, everything heals up. And you're back in, you're like, oh, man, I'm back in right standing, right? So God can heal you of Satan's wounds once you ask for forgiveness because all that stuff gets done away with and you're back in life. But once you start trying to find out, you know, well, you know, I just can't stop doing this, so I guess I'll just go back in the world. That doesn't make any sense because hell is still real. And while you're in the battle, fight it.
Yeah.
Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. You understand?
Amen.
Let's continue. I want to try to finish up here. And it says, where am I? 9? You got, where's Sharon when you need her? Okay. It says, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you.
Yeah.
Therefore, brethren, we have an obligation, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have an obligation, but not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to your sinful nature, you will die, thanatos, end up in hell. Okay? You can never give up on your fight. Because if you give up on your fight, you're saying, I'm just going to live in sin. And if you just live in sin, and you just like let this sin grow up in you, sin leads to what? Death. Okay? So our job is to what? Fight against sin. Is it fun? No. It's not, because there's some things that are just, for your whole life, you've been struggling, okay? You come into Christ and man, I came into Christ jacked up, so I could name 100 different things. But you come into Christ and you have a lot of problems, okay? You got lust problems. Any girl walk by, break your neck, right? You got lust problems. You got anger problems. Anything somebody say to you, what? You want to fight? That was me. I got delivered.
Amen.
Okay? Enough days in jail and on your knees, we'll let you know. You understand? But I said, Lord, why? I got to get out of this.
Amen.
You know, I can't be an angry, lustful man growing up. Then I'll be just like my physical dad, not my spiritual dad,
yeah.
And I'll end up in hell.
Yeah.
So I'm asking God to deliver me, right?
Yeah.
And take it to the altar, okay? Continually. Continually, okay? Because if you haven't overcome it, you still have to keep taking it to the altar.
That's right. Until it's gone.
Get a brother and say, hey, man. Two's over there holding me and he's cheap shotting me. Can you come help me?
Yeah.
And pray together. Let that brother go over there and knock him in the jaw, Satan in the jaw for you,
yeah.
And then get back on the other side.
Yeah.
You understand? But we have to be praying for each other because we're all in this spiritual battle. Is any of us perfect?
No.
Any of us, you know, since age one, you'd be like, I ain't sinned yet. Okay?
Sinning right now.
All right. Thank you. Saying it, huh? He's sinning, saying it. None of us, right?
Amen.
So what does God expect for us, from us? The fight.
Yes.
He doesn't expect perfection. If he expected perfection, none of us would make it.
None of us.
But he's expecting a fight.
Right.
You out there not trying, that ain't kicking.
That ain't fighting.
You need to be trying. You need to say no to some things. Because you know what? Until you, I'm what, 58 right now? Satan will still present to you. He don't even care if you're a pastor.
He don't.
He still will be like, want some of this? Hey, bro. Now they be at Walmart. Like, they got toilet paper. they sell it in front of the store, Pastor Ben. You got it. Hey, you like $10 a roll? $10. No. Hey.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, look. I showed you this for a reason. You in a messed up world.
Yeah.
All you have is Jesus.
That's it.
Okay? That's all you have. You do not have another hero. Okay? When tribulation starts, you only have one Superman that says he's coming down to scoop you up.
That's it.
And if you're friends with him, you're going. If you're not, you're not going. Okay?
Amen.
So make friends with Jesus.
Right.
Be close to Jesus. Be at war against sin.
Yeah.
It's not for any of us to start making up new religions because we can't stop sinning.
Right.
Say, oh, that didn't work for me. It does work. Keep fighting.
That's right.
Keep bringing it to the altar.
Yes.
Okay? I love Greg, man. Greg is like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Hey, man, let's pray. Greg came to my house the last week, man. He's like, I have this thing, man, I had in my heart that me and you could pray together. He said, so we on our knees in my living room praying, me and Greg. But I love a brother like that. I love a brother like that. I wish my kids would have walked in on us. Because I love that.
Right?
We're in our living room, in my living room, we're praying. Because we're praying for each other's strength, each other's victory in this,
yes.
Each other to continue our fight,
yes.
Each other knowing that you ain't perfect and I ain't perfect.
Yes.
I went by the gas station that I snatched the air thing off of the other day because it took my money and didn't have no air.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I was like, Lord, forgive me. That was just anger. And I, you know, ruining public property. I tell you guys this because I want you to know, pastor or not, you got problems, and I know you got problems.
That's right.
And so ask for prayer. Yeah. Get some deliverance.
Yeah.
Don't stop fighting and start going, well, once I'm saved, I'm always saved, so I'll just keep fornicating.
Ooh.
That's stupid. That is a message from hell.
Amen. Yeah.
You don't. And telling people, Christ said this in Luke. He says, make sure that you are worthy to stand before the Son of Man. He's telling you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
Make every effort to live godly and holy lives. Who's he telling to make every effort?
Me.
Is he talking to your Holy Spirit inside of you? Your Holy Spirit is already helping you.
Right.
But he's telling you to make every effort. What's that effort? I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he tells me this is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm going to repent.
Yeah.
Okay? This is how you make the rapture. Making the rapture isn't like, I'm just one of the most holy people in the world. Well, I know Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben gone, but I'm worried. No! Pastor Ben and Pastor Sandy got our own problem. And we got our own repentance.
Yes.
Okay? And we don't want you to think that we're in this not warring.
Glory.
Because I don't want to see bikini underwear on my screen. But Satan don't care. Like, I ain't retired.
Ooh, no.
You know, I've read that you overcame, but I'm not taking it serious because you're still here in the war.
Right.
So let me see if you're going to still keep warring.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Stop trying to be super Jesus people. You discourage people.
Yeah.
Stop saying, how you doing today? Blessing, high of favor. You not. I saw you. You got problems. Tell me what's going on so we can pray together. We can get each other delivered, right?
Amen.
This is the big problem with Christianity, okay? Amen. Is that everybody's struggling, but nobody wants anybody to help them because we want to seem like, I'm tough enough. I'm on the field by my... Lala Zedo taught me a great lesson that day. If you're having problems, go to somebody. He didn't teach me nothing about football or life like that, being tough for football, but he taught me that if you're having problems, it doesn't matter that you're 6'3", 280, and you're strong, okay? Mm-hmm. He went to another friend and said, hey, I got problems over here.
Right.
And you've got to be able to go to people and say, I got problems with this. Amen. I don't want this to drive me into hell.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Are we done?
Yes.
Are we done with our time?
Well, pretty much, yes.
All right. Huh?
The title of the message?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get back to that. The title of today's message is this. Rapture. Okay? Or is it, what's it, or the corona?
The rapture is bigger than the corona.
Rapture is bigger than the coronavirus.
Amen. Hey, amen.
That's my thing. And since God's mission to me was prepare my people to leave, and my mission is still on. The Lord is good. I said, Lord, I'm telling people that the rapture is coming, and this time, Lord, I'm hoping that it comes because I don't want people. And then the Lord said to me this, I want you to make a complete fool of yourself. And I went, he said, Noah built the whole ark. He preached for the whole 120 years. If it didn't happen, he would have made a complete fool of yourself. I want you to make a complete fool of yourself. This is what the Lord told me. He said, you preach and tell people to prepare themselves because once it starts raining and it happens, then they will say you're a great guy and wonderful thing. And the other one, people will say, I wish I would have listened, throw me a rope. Okay. But he says, you have to preach and not worry about people saying, oh, you're a fool. You preach this, you preach that. I'm preaching to you, prepare your way because the Lord is coming. Two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Everything that God has written in the scriptures has happened. And this one is not going to escape, okay? But my message to you is this. Don't be in this sinning, thinking that God doesn't see your sin or not wanting help because you think that you don't want anybody to not know that you're not a perfect Christian. Newsflash, everybody knows you're not a perfect Christian.
Amen.
So pray for each other. Pray for yourselves. Continue repenting. Continue fighting. Continue because the rapture, the word, when he says apostasy, that word is leave or defection. So he's going to take you out or you're going to defect. Defect means you're going to leave this war because you've got other things to do.
Yeah.
Christ is coming so you can defect. You don't have, is the war still on? Yeah. Jesus is going to fight that 7 years and he's going to come back at the end, but he's going to defect you out of the war.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
And it's coming and we have to be ready for it. And you can't be ready for it faking Christianity or faking like you're already strong enough. You've got to be able to go to another brother and pray and keep each other strong. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's Pastor Sandy Loring says Wolverine.
Huh?
That's what you're talking
Wolverine.
About.
Wolverine. Yeah, yeah.
And Shalom from Scotland and India.
Scotland and India. Wow.
Italy. I'm sorry.
Italy. Praise God. We're praying for you, Italy. Don't take any vaccines.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yes. Angel, that last one that said David Starr.